Now on MormonChannel.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
From The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, this is the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. Thank you so much for all of you who have submitted questions to the Mormon Channel. If you'd like to submit a question for us or you'd just like to comment on a program, you can send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. We received a question that says, quote, "I've noticed that some people criticize Adam and Eve for their role in the fall. What is the church's perspective?" Close quote. That's a great question, and hopefully we can take a little bit of time here and answer that question for you. We believe that God prepared this earth as a home for his children. Adam and Eve were chosen to be the first parents to live on this earth. We know that from Moses chapter 1, verse 34, and also chapter 4, verse 26. Adam and Eve's part in our Father's plan was to bring mortality into the world. They were to be the first parents. The Lord chose them for such a responsibility because both were great in his sight. Elder Mark E. Peterson from the October 1980 General Conference spoke about the divine calling and personal worthiness of Adam.
Who was Adam that he was privileged to begin the human race here on earth? Had he been some very special personage in the pre-existent world? Indeed, Adam was very special and very important. Before coming into mortality, he was known as Michael. The prophet Joseph Smith clearly identifies both Adam and Michael as one and the same person, an angel, the chief angel or archangel of heaven, the special servant of God and Christ. When Michael came into mortality, he was known as Adam, the first man, but he was still his own self. Although he was given another name, that of Adam, he did not change his identity. After his mortal death, he resumed his position as an angel in the heavens, once again serving as the chief or archangel, and took again his former name of Michael.
That's Elder Mark E. Peterson. In a like manner, Eve was specially prepared for her noble calling. Elder Russell M. Nelson said the following, quote, "Adam and Eve were joined together in marriage for time and for all eternity by the power of the everlasting priesthood. Eve came as a partner to build and to organize the bodies of mortal men. She was designed by deity to co-create and nurture life, that the great plan of the Father might achieve fruition. Eve was the mother of all living." That according to Moses chapter 4, verse 26. "She was the first of all women," close quote. When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, they were not yet mortal. In this state, they would have no children. We know that from 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 23. There was no death. They had physical life because their spirits were housed in physical bodies made from the dust of the earth. They had spiritual life because they were in the presence of God. They had not yet made a choice between good and evil. God commanded them to have children. He said, quote, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Close quote. That from Moses chapter 2, verse 28. God told them that they could freely eat of every tree in the garden except one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Of that tree, God said, quote, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Close quote. That from Moses, chapter 3, verse 17. Satan, not knowing the mind of God, but seeking to destroy God's plan, came to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He tempted her to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He assured her that she and Adam would not die, but they would, quote, "be as gods, knowing good and evil," close quote. That from Moses, chapter 4, verse 11. Eve yielded to the temptation and ate the fruit. When Adam learned what had happened, he chose to partake also. The changes that came upon Adam and Eve because they ate the fruit are called the fall. Elder Richard G. Scott in the October 1996 General Conference spoke about this in detail.
You can learn how to be more effective parents by studying the life of Adam and Eve. Adam was Michael, who helped create the earth. a glorious, superb individual. Eve was his equal, a full, powerfully contributing partner. After they had partaken of the fruit, the Lord spoke with them. Their comments reveal some different characteristics of a man and woman. To Adam he said, "Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" Now Adam's response was characteristic of a man who wants to be perceived as being as close to right as possible. Adam responded, "The woman thou gavest me, commandest that she remain with me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat." The Lord said to Eve, "What is this thing which thou hast done?" Eve's response was characteristic of a woman. Her answer was very simple and straightforward. "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Later, Adam blessed God and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, "Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression, my eyes are open. And in this life, I shall have joy. And again in the flesh, I shall see God." Adam was thinking about his responsibilities. He was trying to align his performance with the desires of the Lord. Eve said, "Were it not for our transgressions, we never should have had seed and never should have known good and evil and the joy of our redemption and eternal life which God hath given unto all the obedient." Eve's response was characteristic of a woman. She embraced all, wanted to make sure that everyone was considered. One response was not more correct than the other. The two perspectives resulted from the traits inherent in men and women. The Lord intends that we use those differences to fulfill his plan for happiness, personal growth, and development. By counseling together, they arrived at a broader, more correct understanding of truth. They worked together. They obeyed the commandment to have children. They knew the plan of happiness and followed it, even though at times it resulted in hardship and difficulty for them.
That's Elder Richard G. Scott. The motivation and understanding of Adam and Eve do not denote those of sinners. It's important to realize that in partaking of the fruit, Adam and Eve did not sin. Elder Dallin H. Oaks clarified this point in the October 1996 General Conference.
This suggested contrast between a sin and a transgression reminds us of the careful wording in the second article of faith. We believe that men will be punished for their own sins, but not for Adam's transgression. It also echoes a familiar distinction in the law. Some acts, like murder, are crimes because they are inherently wrong. Other acts, like operating without a license, are crimes only because they are legally prohibited. Under these distinctions, the act that produced the fall was not a sin, inherently wrong, but a transgression, wrong because it was formally prohibited. These words are not always used to denote something different, but this distinction seems meaningful in the circumstances of the fall.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. You're listening to The Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is Q&A, questions and answers. We are answering a question that we received a few weeks ago that says, quote, "I've noticed that some people criticize Adam and Eve for their role in the fall. What is the church's perspective?" Close quote. Because Adam and Eve had eaten the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Lord sent them out of the Garden of Eden into the world. Their physical condition changed as a result of their eating the forbidden fruit. As God had promised, they became mortal. They and their children would experience sickness, pain, and physical death. Yet despite this change, Adam and Eve were blessed immeasurably by the Lord. Elder Mark E. Peterson in the October 1980 General Conference talks about this.
Adam and Eve knew God personally. They saw him and talked with him. They were taught the gospel of Jesus Christ even in that early time. which was long before the Lord's earthly ministry, for Jesus had been appointed to be the Savior during our pre-existence. The plan of salvation, therefore, was instituted among these first human beings, Adam and Eve and their children. Angels taught them. The family believed. They were baptized and began to serve God. The scripture says that as Adam tilled the ground and cared for the cattle and the sheep, Eve, his wife, did labor with him. They were highly intelligent people, not at all like either the hominids or the cavemen some claim the first humans to have been. They were well educated, having been taught by the Lord himself. What an education! What an instructor! Think of it, and remember that the glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. These gifts were imparted to Adam and Eve and their family. No one else could teach them because they were the first human beings. That task was left to the Lord and his angels.
That's Elder Mark E. Peterson. Some people believe Adam and Eve committed a serious sin when they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. However, Latter-day Scriptures help us to understand that their fall was a necessary step in the plan of life and a great blessing to all of us. Because of the fall, we are blessed with physical bodies and the right to choose between good and evil, and the opportunity to gain eternal life. None of these privileges would have been ours had Adam and Eve remained in the garden. Elder Dallin H. Oaks in the October 1996 General Conference talks about we do not condemn Adam and Eve.
Some Christians condemn Eve for her act, concluding that she and her daughters are somehow flawed by it. Not the Latter-day Saints. Informed by revelation, we celebrate Eve's act and honor her wisdom and courage in the great episode called the Fall. Joseph Smith taught that it was not a sin because God had decreed it. Brigham Young declared, we should never blame Mother Eve, not the least. Elder Joseph Fielding Smith said, I never speak of the part Eve took in this fall as a sin, nor do I accuse Adam of a sin. This was a transgression of the law, but not a sin, for it was something that Adam and Eve had to do.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. As a part of the plan of our Heavenly Father, many wonderful and necessary things came out of Adam and Eve's difficult decision. After the fall, Eve said, quote, were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed. We never should have known good and evil and the joy of our redemption and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient, close quote. That from Moses chapter 5, verse 11. In the Book of Mormon, the prophet Lehi spoke of this great act, explaining, quote, and now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen. But he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state in which they were after they were created. And they would have no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. Close quote. That from 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. Regarding the element of the joy that Adam and Eve introduced to man, Elder Russell M. Nelson in the October 1996 General Conference emphasized the physical necessity of the fall.
Scripture teaches that Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. The fall of Adam and Eve constituted the mortal creation and brought about the required changes in their bodies, including the circulation of blood and other modifications as well. They were now able to have children. They and their posterity also became subject to injury, disease, and death. And the loving Creator blessed them with healing power by which the life and function of precious physical bodies could be preserved. For example, bones, if broken, could become solid again. Lacerations of the flesh could heal themselves. And miraculously, leaks in the circulation could be sealed off by components activated from the very blood being lost. Think of the wonder of that power to heal. If you could create anything that could repair itself, you would have created life in perpetuity. For example, if you could create a chair that could fix its own broken leg, there would be no limit to the life of that chair. Yet many of you walk on legs that were once broken and do so because of your remarkable gift of healing. Even though our Creator endowed us with this incredible power, He consigned a counterbalancing gift to our bodies. It is the blessing of aging, with visible reminders that we are mortal beings destined one day to leave this frail existence. Our bodies change every day. As we grow older, our broad chests and narrow waists have a tendency to trade places. We get wrinkles, lose color in our hair, even the hair itself, to remind us that we are mortal children of God, with a manufacturer's guarantee that we shall not be stranded upon the earth forever. Were it not for the fall, our physicians, beauticians, and morticians would all be unemployed.
That's Elder Russell M. Nelson. The physical effect was necessary for us to be able to participate in the great plan of happiness. Elder Oak spoke with solemnity of the utter necessity of the fall. From the October 1996 General Conference, here is Elder Dallin H. Oaks.
When Adam and Eve received the first commandment, they were in a transitional state, no longer in the spirit world, but with physical bodies not yet subject to death and not yet capable of procreation. They could not fulfill the Father's first commandment without transgressing the barrier between the bliss of the Garden of Eden and the terrible trials and wonderful opportunities of mortal life. For reasons that have not been revealed, this transition, or fall, could not happen without a transgression, an exercise of moral agency amounting to a willful breaking of a law. This would be a planned offense, a formality to serve an eternal purpose. The prophet Lehi explained that if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but would have remained in the same state in which he was created. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. We must realize that Adam and Eve were not ignorant in their decision. According to Elder Oaks, their decision was of a spiritual nature, intended to further the plan of salvation. From the October 1996 General Conference, once again, here is Elder Dallin H. Oaks.
Modern revelation shows that our first parents understood the necessity of the fall. Adam declared, "Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God." Note the different perspective and the special wisdom of Eve, who focused on the purpose and effect of the great plan of happiness. Were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed, and never should have known good and evil, and the joy of our redemption, and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient. In his vision of the redemption of the dead, President Joseph F. Smith saw the great and mighty ones assembled to meet the Son of God, and among them was our glorious mother Eve.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. We should at no time condemn Adam and Eve for their vital role in God's eternal work on earth. Let their courage and faith inspire us so that each one of us may likewise find our place and fulfill our responsibility in the Lord's plan. Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A. If you would like to download this episode of Q&A, you can go to our website. It's free. Just log on to mormonchannel.org. If you have a question for us or you'd like to comment on this episode of Q&A, you can send us an email. Our email address is mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. Thank you so much for listening to The Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.